You can take your Bibles if you're looking to turn somewhere and turn to Genesis chapter number 29. Genesis chapter number 29. Last Wednesday that I was here, the last Wednesday I was here 2 weeks ago, we did a kind of a Bible study look into the life of Jacob, the son of Isaac. He was the undeserving one that ended up getting a blessing, and we looked at each individual attribute of every significant time. And I'm sure we missed some. And if you go home and find it in your Bible study, don't say, sure, bring it to me. I'd love to see it. But, it was just kind of a brief overview of the lifestyle of Jacob. Didn't have all the time in the world to hit each individual aspect of it, but I hope it gave you something to think about, something to go home and study. When I saw it, I really enjoyed that study for myself, and of course the application in the last 2 points. The whole reason, like I said, for doing that was to get to this point in the series, get to this point in the Bible study of Jacob. I've heard all my life, Jacob, Leah, and Rachel. Leah was the mean, antagonistic bride of Jacob, and Rachel was the one that Jacob was supposed to marry, but he got tricked, and she was the one who gave birth to Joseph, and she prayed that prayer to Jacob, "Give me children, else I die," and all of that is true. In other words, all of the things that she did in her life about how, Joseph and Benjamin coming through her were good men, and through them we have a lot of pictures of Jesus Christ, and through Benjamin we have, the tribe of Benjamin, Jesse, with David and all that stuff, the first really righteous king of Israel pictured Jesus even more than Joseph. Just because of his source material. But that Leah-Rachel thing always kind of bothered me. Because I'd read about her doing really good things as far as giving birth to Jacob and Benjamin. And other times I'd read about her hiding idols and stuff like that. It's like, that's not right. You don't want that in a mate. If you're looking for somebody to marry, you don't want the one who's out searching after gods. If you're saved, you want to stay righteous. Look at Solomon. He went out and got a whole bunch of wives, and the Bible says they turned his heart to other gods. And after that, his once great kingdom ruled with the wisdom of God and ruled in the richest to that point in history, and probably far past, I don't know if they've ever found a kingdom that was more financially wealthy than Solomon's kingdom. From that point, after he started turning his heart to other gods, his kingdom took a downfall. And then he finally said in Ecclesiastes, "Vanity of vanity, all is vanity." I've done everything, and it's all useless and worthless. Well, like I said, it kind of bothered me. So as I started looking at it, I saw some things. And hopefully we'll be able to draw a pretty conclusive picture for you tonight. Again, if this contradicts something and you just can't let it go, you don't have to believe like I believe. This isn't a salvation or not. If you don't believe this, if you are saved, if you don't believe this, you're still going to heaven. If you're not saved and you believe this, you're still going to hell. So it's not like that. But this is something that has just some unique pictures that I think in the life of a Christian. You say, "Well, I'm not married. It doesn't matter." You can gain from this. You say, "I'm younger, and I don't understand all of that stuff." I've heard this preached 1,000 times or more, and of course I'm exaggerating on why Rachel is the right kind of a woman and why Leah is not the right kind of a woman. You know what I mean? All these, youth conferences and camps that I went to. But I really think it's the opposite. I think what you find as you look through Genesis is that Leah portrays somebody that you ought to have in your life. And Rachel portrays the opposite of somebody you're not supposed to. I'm going to give a brief overview of the life of Jacob, where we hit on a couple weeks ago, just to catch everybody else up if you weren't here. And again, if questions come up, I'd be happy to answer them, or at least try my best to, as far as what led me to this thinking. But hopefully we'll be able to draw some truths out here. So in Genesis 25, verse 23, we saw the birth of Jacob, Jacob's birth, and how there was a prophecy rendered telling he was going to be over his brother. The younger shall serve the older. The next thing we saw right after that in Genesis 25 is the Jacob's, I'm sorry, we saw Jacob's birthright. Jacob's birthright throughout the argument about the porridge and all that stuff. And then he gathers the ability to get a blessing. Just as you gathered the ability to get a blessing when you got born here in the physical birth, Jacob got the same kind of birthright when he argued with Esau for the porridge. Then we saw Jacob's blessing that he gets from Isaac. That's a very familiar story. Isaac goes in, he's tired and old and can't see, and that is the famous Jacob tricked Isaac. I don't think that was what was being shown. It's amazing how little Jacob did in that story to gather the blessing. I mean, the plan was made up by his mom. The blessing was given to him through Isaac. The right to that blessing was given to him through Esau. I mean, his clothes were Esau's. The fur on the back of his hands were goats. I mean, it was everything. So we have the Jacob's birth, Jacob's birthright, Jacob's blessing, Jacob's belongings when he went to Peniel, and he went before at Bethel. Sorry, not Peniel. Went before at Bethel and saw the ladder ascending. And Jesus said, showed himself to Jacob there and made him a promise that I'll bring you back to your people. And he said, well, if you do, you'll be my God, not just my father's God and my grandfather's God, but you'll be my God. And so we see that's where church is, is mentioned for the Christian. Right after you get saved, the best thing for you to do is to get in church. The best thing for you to do is get in a place where you can hear good Bible teaching, good Bible doctrine being edified throughout the scriptures. But not only do we see his belongings, and I kind of alluded to this is the main topic of the lesson, is Jacob's betrothals, of course, obviously to Leah and to Rachel. And then we covered a little bit of Jacob's boldness found when he wrestles with the man or the angel, as it actually depicts itself as Jesus Christ when he wrestles with him to get something that he needed because he was at the end of his strength. He had done all that he could do, and he didn't have enough strength to defeat his brother Esau, so he said, I'm going to wrestle with God and get that. So we've seen kind of a brief overview. Like I said, I kind of want to narrow in on this chapter period, kind of between Genesis 29 and we'll end up in Genesis chapter number 50 here at the very end. All right, so what I'd like to do is just kind of point out some things about Leah and then point out the contrary to Rachel. We'll keep you seated. This is quite a lengthy read, and hopefully you'll be able to get an understanding view of this. So here we go. Verse number 8 of chapter number 29. It says, and they said, we cannot until the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, that the sheep of Laban, I'm sorry, took my coat off and forgot the receiver was in there. I'll put this in my back pocket now. Sorry, I'm going to start over on that verse. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. I would have led with that. I wouldn't necessarily just, you know, that would be quite frightening if you read back and how he greeted her. But I would probably led with that and then gone on. But anyway, and it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, surely thou art my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel, and he said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days, for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to him, and he went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his wife, unto his daughter Leah, Zilpah, his handmaid, for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said unto Laban, what is this thou hast done unto me? Did not I serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, it must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee also for this service, which thou shalt serve me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, and his handmaid to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. Let's pray, and we'll get into the lesson. Jesus, thank you so much for the opportunity to finish up this part of the Bible study. God, I ask that you please, in a special way, anoint me, anoint my mouth. Help me not to say anything that I shouldn't say. Help these people as they listen. Help them to have understanding as to your word, and hopefully to this wonderful picture that you've shown me. God, I don't have anything for these people other than what you've given me. So, God, I ask that you get me out of the way and give it to your people straight from the source. God, help us as we look at your word tonight. Draw things out to our view. Help us as we pull things back into our remembrance as we look at this study. And help us to be more like you because of it. And help us to make wiser, more godly, God-glorifying decisions because of it. In your name we pray, amen. So, here's Jacob, and he's found himself cast out from his father's presence because he was fearing that Esau was going to kill him because he cheated him out of the blessing, if you will. And so he runs, and he finally makes it to the Syrian area where Laban is. And he sees everybody standing around a well, and he's like, why is the well closed? And he's like, well, we'll open it up here in a little bit after Rachel, Laban's daughter, gets here with the sheep. So she gets there. Jacob rolls the stone away from the well. And there's pictures all through that. And then Rachel comes and waters the sheep. And he kisses her. Now, I've always been taught it was an inappropriate kiss. I don't think so, because in the next couple of verses it says he kissed Laban. And I sure hope it wasn't an inappropriate kiss. And so in context, that was just how they greeted people. You know, they walked up, and, you know, the Europeans still do that and all that stuff, and they kiss on the cheek and all. Don't do that. Don't start doing that here at church. But, you know, that was how they did it. And so he he came and, you know, he kissed Rachel and said he cried out with a voice and he wept. And he told her, he said, hey, look, I'm your cousin. And don't ask me because I don't know. Okay. Don't get into all that because I don't know. Okay. So we're going to jump right over that. Okay. And he goes to Laban's house. You know, he goes to Laban's house and for a month he's serving. And Laban says, hey, look, can't have you serving me for free. What do you want? And he said, I want to marry your daughter, Rachel. And he had two daughters. And it said Leah was soft-eyed. Let's look back at it. It says in 17, Leah was tender-eyed. Now, I've heard people say that that meant that Leah was ugly. I don't think so. I think what it meant was she was just normal. You know, she wasn't anybody that you would, you know, take a second glance at. She wasn't trying to use her abilities to access points of her body and accent things in a way that would make anybody think after her. You know, it was more so just that's who she was. She dressed normal. You know, she wasn't out here tempting the boundaries of what was right or what was wrong. It doesn't mean she was ugly. It just means that she wasn't trying to do a whole lot to gain attention to herself. But look what happened. Look what it said about Rachel. But Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Think of it. Jacob knows nothing about these girls. All he knows is what he can see. He's only been with them for a month. He doesn't know their character level. He doesn't know their spiritual level, their mental abilities. He knows none of that. There's no way that he could have known that. All he's seeing is the outward. And often as Christians, we get in the most trouble when we make our decisions based on the outward. So we see, first of all, that Leah was undesired. There was no part of Leah that was something that was like, wow, she's a really pretty girl. If you wanted to see her beauty, if you wanted to see the attributes that made her favorable, you'd have to actually, get this, get to know her. You know, I'm amazed every time. It's never lost on me, you know, hear some silly couple say they got married after like 6 months of knowing each other. Oh, we met, you know, online and we got married, you know. It's like, you don't know them. That's silly. You're making that decision based off of your looks, based off of your emotions, and, you know, big shocker is they get divorced a couple months down the line. But Leah's not like that. Leah is somebody who desires to just kind of be normal. She's who she is, and that's fine with her. Leah, however, is pleasing to the desires of Jacob. So when Jacob sees her, he's like, she's obviously more beautiful than her sister. Again, judging only on the outside. And so he says, Laban, give me your youngest daughter, Rachel. So he says, work 7 years and you can have my youngest daughter, Rachel. So he worked 7 years, and you know the story. At the end of the 7 years, we just read it, Laban gives Leah to Jacob. But the deal was for Rachel. And so Jacob says, you tricked me, you gave me Leah, and I wanted Rachel. And of course, Zilpha is Leah's handmaid. That's important for later. And he said, well, okay, don't freak out. It's just not something that we do here. We don't marry off the younger before the older. Otherwise, the older's going to, you know, be an old maid, and we don't want that. We don't do that here. He said, well, I'll serve you another 7 years. Only give me Rachel right now. Don't trick me down the road. And so it says they fulfilled the week, the honeymoon week, if you will, for Leah and Jacob. And then right after that, he gets married to Rachel. And then he serves for another 7 years, which leads to the second point. Leah, although she was undesired, she was also unbought. There was absolutely zero time spent going after Leah. There was no desire there. There was, and I know this is moving slow, but if you'll stay with me, she's just there. She can't, she's not trying to draw attention to herself. Jacob's not seeking after her. When Jacob goes to work and he clocks in, he's not thinking, I'm doing today's work for Leah. He's saying, I'm going to do today's work for Rachel. Then he gets tricked. And again, it never enters his mind, I'm doing this work for Leah now. It's I'm working these 7 years to justly marry Rachel. So for 14 years, he works his tail off for Rachel. Leah, he gets really for nothing, if you look at it. When all the labor is said and done and accounted for and who he did it for, it was all for Rachel. So Leah's over here undesired, unbought, but she's not unfruitful. Look what happens. Right after they get married, it says in verse 30, and he went in also unto Rachel. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. Keep reading. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, because of the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son, and she said, now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. So here's Leah, freshly married off to Jacob. And the Bible says that the Lord saw Leah in a hated relationship between her, her sister, and her husband. And Leah was hated by Rachel. And so this argument goes back and forth, I'm sure, and we'll see this later. But she despite her hatred that Rachel puts out towards her, she still gives Jacob a son. You understand that a son back in these days, especially in the patriarchal days, this is the promise of God. This is no light thing. If he'd never had a son, then all of his daughters would be married off to some other guy, take their name, and the promise God made to Abraham would die with Jacob. So here she's first in line, and she gives Jacob a son, calls him Reuben. The name Reuben literally means, see, a son. This is how I gain favor. And keep in mind, back then it was your role in the house, if you were a woman, was to have kids and to care for the kids. The man's role was to prepare. And I know that's different than what we're in. And again, this is not sexism. This is how it was supposed to be, how God designed it to be. So God designed Leah and saw her hatred in her own house and blessed her with 4 kids. I mean, boom, 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 boom. You know, Leah's thinking, hey, this is what God wanted. See, I am the right choice for you, Jacob. I am the one that God gave you. No, you didn't work for me. No, you didn't love me. No, you didn't seek after me. But I'm the one who's giving you what God wanted you to have. This is the fruit of the promise that God made you. I'm the one fulfilling it. You see, you saw Rachel, and all she did was please your fleshly desires. But look who's actually doing the work. That's what Leah's, and every single one, I mean all the way down to Judah meaning praise, Levi meaning going back, I'm sorry, I had it in my notes, Levi here. Yeah, I mean, attached. She honestly, when she had Levi, she was like, now he's going to choose me. Now that he's seen that I'm fruitful, he'll actually want to spend time with me. That leads us to our next point. She's not only undesired, she's not only unbought, she's not only not unfruitful, but she's unrequited. If you read in the later epistles, you'll see that word requite. It means to pay back. Which means that her love for Jacob, her desire for Jacob, she never gets anything back for it. Jacob's more interested in what Rachel has. Jacob's more interested in what Rachel wants to do and what Rachel has for her day going on. Her day planner's full. Leah's over here. I mean, she's giving Jacob the pathway to blessing. Say, will you love me now? Will you love me now? Will you love me now? I loved you since I saw you, but do you love me yet? 4 kids later, still nothing. Keep reading. Chapter number 29. Sorry, I turned the page back. Chapter 30. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister. Yeah, that's a good purpose to have a kid right there because you want to strike back. And said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Again, the famous prayer to Jacob. Give me kids or else I die. And I've heard a lot of people pray that about, you know, soul winning and, you know, give me fruit or else I die. And, I mean, even Leonard Ravenhill preached that. And I mean, sure, you have to be desperate to get anything from God. You have to actually want it. God's not just handing out free coupons. He wants to see that you mean it. But, I mean, that's not what she's doing. She's not moved out of her love for Jacob. She's not moved out of her love for the promise given to Jacob from his father and his father's father. She's moved to ask him this because she hates and envies what her sister has. She said, give me children or else I die. And Jacob's anger, watch this, was kindled against Rachel. And he said, am I in God's stead who have withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go in unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. She's like, well, maybe God said no for me, but I've got a plan. Like, God, if Jacob said, if God wanted you to have kids, he'd have given you kids. Like, well, what if my handmaid has kids for me? Again, evil scenario enters in. Not supposed to be that way. And she gave him Bilhah, her handmaid, to wife, and Jacob went in unto her. And Bilhah conceived and bare Jacob a son, and Rachel said, God hath judged me. You got what you wanted. God hath judged me, and hath also heard my voice, and hath given me a son, therefore called she his name Dan. Dan means judge. And Bilhah, Rachel's maid, conceived again and bare Jacob a second son. And Rachel said, with great wrestlings have I wrestled with my sister, and I have prevailed. And she called his name Naphtali, which means my wrestling. So here's Rachel. Her only desire is to get one up on her sister. It's not for anything good. It's just to win Jacob. It's just to draw Jacob in. She says, I'm going to have kids. And she names her kids after something terrible that she's going through. Here's Leah naming her kids, look, a son. That's the promise. Here she is naming her sons. I mean, going down the line, you have Jacob, which means a son. Simeon, which means God heard me. Levi, meaning, hey, look, God gave me this son so I could be attached to my husband. Judah, meaning, hey, let's praise God, I've got a son. And here's Rachel on the other side of things. She makes up this contraption to get a son, to get one over on Leah, And she says, God judged me, and this is my wrestling. That's what didn't make any sense to me when I saw it. Why would you name somebody after something terrible? It'd be like, this is my son, Katrina, and this is my son, 9/11. Like, it doesn't make any sense. But that's where her mind is. That's where her thinking is. You see, because while Leah is unrequited, Rachel lives bountifully in Jacob's love. There's not a single point in Rachel's life where she hasn't got what she wanted from Jacob. I mean, from day one, she was the desired one. She was the one that Jacob worked for. She was the one that Jacob worked even more for because he had to have her. Look down at verse 14. And Reuben went in, in the days of the wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. Then Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And she said unto her, it is a small matter that thou hast taken my husband, and wouldest thou take away my son's mandrakes also? And Rachel said, therefore, he shall lie with thee tonight and for thy son's mandrake. So here's Leah. She's trying to get the love of Jacob. And that's all she's ever done. Her entire marriage is just to strive after, what does Jacob need to give me love? And here comes Rachel after Leah's son Reuben comes in with some flowers. That's mandrakes. So really pretty blue flowers. And these, I mean, as any son picking flowers for his mom to show his mom how much he loves her. And Rachel's like, give me some of those. He's like, is it a small matter that you stole my husband from me? And now you want the only element of my son's love? Is anything too much for you? Is there no limit to where what you'll strive to take from me? I just want my husband's love, but you've whored yourself out and made him hate me. And here comes my son with an element of his love for me, and you want to take that too? And Rachel, in her almost, when I read it, it made me sick how snobby she was about it. Well, I mean, if it's that much to you, go ahead and take Jacob for a night. I get him every night anyway. Whatever I want from him, I get. Go ahead and take him. Just give me a couple of those mandrakes, a couple of those flowers. They don't mean anything to me. They weren't picked for me. I just want them. Oh, you want me to buy them? Okay, you can have Jacob. Don't marry somebody like that. That's not good. But also, here's Jacob in between in this marriage of a woman who's seeking after his affection and his love, and the other one gets whatever she wants. So Leah's not only unbought, undesired, not unfruitful, but not required, she's unrequited. She's also not inconsistent. Whereas Rachel, I mean, she's only consistent in competition. She only wants to do things if it means that Leah gets hate from it. See, look what happens. You know, Leah, let's pick off where we left off back up in the chapter. Look at 9. And Leah saw that she had left bearing. She took Zilpah, her maid, and gave her to Jacob to wife. And Zilpah, Leah's maid, bare Jacob a son. And Leah said, a troop cometh. And she called his name Gad. Troop meaning fortune. Troop meaning bountiful. Troop meaning there's a lot here. I've not only been fruitful for you, but I've been overly fruitful. You will not only have a son to carry on your name and the blessings of God, but you'll have 5 now. That's Leah's thinking. Keep reading. She's consistent. I mean, every single time. Look at this. And Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, bare skip down 12. And Zilpah, Leah's handmaid, bare Jacob a second son. And Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. And she called his name Asher. Look, above everything that you needed to keep your name going and the blessings of God on your family, I'm going to give you a little bit more just to make you happy. But look at what Rachel does. Skip on down with me. Look at this. Keep looking at Leah for a second. 17. Of course, she gets what she bartered her flowers for. She sold the flowers to Rachel. She gets Jacob. Back up to 16. And Jacob came out of the field in the evening, and Leah went out to meet him and said, thou must come unto me, for surely I have hired thee with my son's mandrakes. And he lay with her that night. He's like, you didn't want me just for undesired, but I went ahead and bought you tonight. It can just be us. Nobody else can get in between us two now. Because I paid for you. I'm getting ahead of myself. That's why I'm emotional right now. But he said, I'll go in unto her that night. Look at 17. And God hearkened unto Leah, and she conceived. And bare Jacob a fifth son. And Leah said, God hath given me my hire, because I have given my maiden to my husband. And she called his name Issachar. In other words, God not only blessed my handmaid with kids, with boys, for my husband, God blessed me again. So she called his name Issachar, which means hire. Because I gave you blessing, because my handmaid gave you blessing, and I'm going to continue giving you blessing, here's my hire. This is my only purpose. My only desire, because I don't know what else you want. Keep reading. And Leah conceived again and bare Jacob a sixth son. And Leah said, God hath endued me with a good dowry. Now will my husband dwell with me, because I have borne him six sons. And she called his name Zebulun. That word Zebulun, that name there, means dwelling. You didn't want me. You didn't want to be with me. But hopefully, Levi binds you to me. But I need more than just to be your wife. I want you to dwell with me. I want to give you everything, but I don't want you to leave. She has a daughter named Dinah. Dinah meaning judgment. And I think that is mostly because here she is in a marriage that shouldn't have ever happened, in a hated marriage by her own sister, and she has a daughter, and I think all she can think of is, man, she's going to have the same life I had. She's doomed to repeat. Again, maybe I'm misreading that. But that's how I can see it. Look at what happens with Rachel. And God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, watch this, and the Lord shall add to me another son. She finally gets what she wants, and all she wants is just one more, just a little bit more. I'm going to hop into the application. We've got just a couple minutes before we close. Why is this important? Why is this picture useful? Well, you see, just like Leah was undesired, there was another person in your Bible who was undesired. Turn, if you will, with me to Isaiah chapter number 53. Isaiah 53. Look at verse number 2. For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground, and he hath no form nor comeliness that we should, that we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. Isaiah is telling a prophecy of, if you don't identify him, it's Jesus Christ. You say, he's not going to be somebody that you're seeking after. The Bible says that there's no man that seeketh after God. In our wicked hearts and our evil hearts, all we want is what we want. And Jesus said, I'm not going to have all of this alluring stuff to your flesh if you're going to come unto me. This is not where you come to fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is where you come to get me. If you want me, you can get me, but I'm not desirable. Some people stupidly misinterpret that verse and say, oh, Jesus was ugly. He doesn't have to be ugly to be undesirable. Just in this world, he just has to be normal. Everybody wants the flashy thing and the popular thing and the faddish thing. Nobody wants what's normal anymore. I mean, just look, we got transgenders, we got drag queens, we got any kind of sin, all big and bright and bold. But the normal things, oh, well, we don't want to look at that. Not only do we not want to look at that, we're going to downplay that and shame that as you're weird. That's the world we live in. And Jesus, just like Leah was undesired, is undesired. But just like Rachel was desired, our flesh only gives us the pleasure. Sin is pleasurable. I know it says for a season, I get that. But it is pleasurable. And if all you want out of your life is just pleasure, Jesus said, you'll find it in the flesh. You'll find it doing what the flesh wants you to do. But if you want something that's unsought after, undesired, unflashy, it's normal, it's comely, it's usual, I can give you that if you'll just seek after me. He's not only like Leah was undesired, but he was unbought. There's not a single bit of your righteousness God wants. There's not a single part of your work in the flesh that God wants. There's nothing that you can give to earn him. He just wants to be with you. He's not just undesired and unbought. But like Leah, he's not unfruitful. Meanwhile, the flesh, all they want, the only fruits that they can offer you is sweat. The only purchase they can offer is work. The Bible says the fruits of the Spirit. But before that it said the work of the flesh are manifest. You want to live your life according to the flesh? Go ahead and work it. Because it'll be work. You want to enjoy the rest found in Jesus Christ? Go ahead and come unto me, all ye that are heavy and that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm desirable, but I'm not unfruitful. If you're curious tonight if serving God is a waste of your time, it's not. You don't think he would give anything to have you? He gave his son. You're stuck wanting to serve the flesh. You're like, oh, that's flashy, that's desirable, that's what I want. I'll work anything for it. I'll work double time. Like Jacob worked 14 years for Rachel. All you want to do, you're offered the work of the flesh for your work. And then when the bill comes due, it's just more work. And it's more work. Again, people blame that on Laban in every sermon I've ever heard. But Jacob wanted it. Jacob could have said, no, I'm happy with Leah. But because he wanted Rachel, he was willing to go above and beyond to please his own flesh. And how many times do you as a Christian go above and beyond just to please your own flesh? You don't have to go out and do that, Jesus said. You can have me. But you'd rather spend your time with unfruitful labors. But he's not only was he not requited, unfruitful, but he's unrequited. How many times does Jesus say, hey, I want to just spend time with you? Exodus 28:5, it says, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell with them. And from the beginning of time, his only desire was to dwell with you. But you'd rather spend time with the flesh because it's pleasurable. He's not just undesired or unbought, and he's not unfruitful, but he's unrequited. But he's not inconsistent. And just like Leah continually sought after Jacob's love, and baby after baby after baby, it was, here, Jacob, can you use this? Here, Jacob, is this enough for you? Here, Jacob, here, use this. I know you said you wanted a son, but I'll give you 7 of them. I'll give you 9 of them. I'll give you whatever you want. And you'll just seek after me just a little bit, just 1 second, like you seek after the work of the flesh. Just 1 second of how you desire things in the world. Just love me that much for just a second. Glory to God, Jesus is, though, he's unhindered. You see, back in the story, Rachel, you see her constantly getting tethered up with inconvenient characteristics. The first thing, she's hateful. Next thing you know, she's proud. Next thing you know, she's wrapped up in idolatry. Next thing you know, she's wrapped up in all of this sin after sin after sin. God says, I've been tempted. It doesn't mean anything to me. The only reason I was tempted was for you. I just want you. I just want a little bit of you. And it would make all that work worth it. It'd make all this life of living in a world that hates me worth it. It'd make everything that I've ever wanted come to pass. If I could just get you for a second. Satan tempted me in the wilderness. I didn't want bread. I didn't want the nations. I just wanted you. And day after day, we as blood-bought Christians constantly walk out in the world and do what we want. It's not enough that he bought us. It's not enough that he gave his son to die for us. All we want is what we want. And over again, in our life where we have bound 2 people, you are sealed with the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. You are sealed with the flesh until the day you die or are raptured out. And you live in a life of constant turmoil between one or the other. You're pulled to the flesh for one day, and if you have enough spiritual wisdom, you'll desire to be pulled to the spirit the other, and you'll want to stay over here, but before you know it, you're pulled back, and you're in the same situation that Jacob's in. He's living in a house where one hates the other. The Bible says that the spirit wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit, so that you cannot do the things that you would. I just want to serve him, Paul said. But before I know it, the flesh won again. Before I know it, I didn't do what the Holy Spirit wanted me to do again. And it seems like every time I surrendered to the flesh, all I got was, man, that's my wrestling. Man, give me another one. Man, later on, her dying breath is sorrow and bitterness. She's giving birth to Benjamin, and with her dying breath, she says, "Name him Benoni," which means "son of my sorrow." And Jacob intervenes. He says, "No, this is the son of my right hand." And oftentimes we labor and we labor and we labor and we labor in this life, and we're stuck and we can't get rid of it. And it's between two people. Jesus Christ that lives inside of you is not leaving. And the flesh, that old man, that old nature that constantly drives you to do the things that are not convenient for you. And over again, we give up to the unfruitful, more desirable and pleasurable, more inconsistent or only consistent when it comes to how much it wars against the spirit. And over again, over and over, we fall. God just said, "I wanted you. I wanted every second of you. I'll not only be your blessing, I'll give you your blessings. I'll not only give you your blessings, I'll give you more. A troop cometh. I'll not only give you more, I'll not only give you what you want, I'll give you enough to make you happy." He said, "No. No, thank you. I've got somebody over here that's pleasurable for a season. They're calling my name. And I'd rather do that than to be with you." He's not only not hindered, but he's also not unjustified. You see, in this picture of Leah and Rachel, I found this so, so interesting. I was talking with my mom about it. This was several months ago. This is the first time I'm teaching this. It just hasn't presented itself as an opportunity yet. But I'm making correlations as I'm just in my devotional reading through it. And we get to the end of the story. We get to the end of the life of Rachel. Look at Genesis 30 and 21. I turned way far. Oh, I'm still in Isaiah, that's why. Of course, she names the wrong one. She gives the wrong name to Joseph. And yeah, Joseph gets used as probably one of the best pictures of Jesus Christ in your Old Testament. I mean, a man without sin. I mean, everything in his life. Every single huge hurdle in his life. He's Jesus, 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 Jesus. Sure, that comes from this. Sure. And I'm sorry, I told you the wrong verse, the wrong chapter. Look at chapter 35. Genesis 35, and look at verse 18. "And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath," which is Bethlehem. Okay, fast forward to Genesis chapter number 49. Genesis 49, and look at verse 30. Jacob is dying. He's telling telling Joseph what to do with his body. He's blessed the children of Jacob. He's getting ready to tell him what to do. Look at verse 30. "In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife, and there they buried Isaac and Rebekah, his wife. And there I buried Leah." This thrilled me to death. Leah's her whole life has only been wanting Jacob's love. Jacob's whole life, his whole married life, he's had one person in his life who consistently loved him. And at the end of his life, he could have chosen to be buried anywhere. But he had a choice between where Leah was buried, in this cave in a field, with Abraham, Isaac, Sarah, Rebecca. And he had a choice between that and where Rachel was buried in Bethlehem. And despite how she didn't get any of him whenever he was alive, despite about how no matter what she strove to do, no matter what she tried to give him, he didn't want any of it while she was alive, she spent the rest of eternity with him. After this whole life is over, after everything's done, after you've played your games, after you've had your pleasure in sin, Christian, you're going to die one day, and the only person who's going to be spending any time with you that wanted to spend time here with you is Jesus Christ, and you'll spend eternity with him. Did you seek him for a second of it? Here's Jacob. He's desired nothing but Rachel, but he's buried with Leah. And I hope at the end of your life you're not having spent the whole thing desiring Rachel, desiring your flesh. Jesus gave you the Holy Spirit not just to seal you until the day of redemption, but so that you can spend time with God. He's not second rate or second market or 2% Jesus. He's God living in you, and you can have as much time as you want with him. And he'll do nothing but give you good. You'd rather pick the flesh. You'd rather do what you want to do. And then you get to heaven, and you'll look at him eye to eye. The flesh is gone. It's left here, but you're there. And you're with the one who bought you. You're with the one who loved you. You're with the one who gave you every blessing you ever had. And all you can think of is how much you loved Rachel here on earth. All you can think of is every waking second, all you thought was, how can I please the flesh? How can I please me? I don't want to do that. I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to get to a point where you are standing before Jesus Christ if you're saved, and all you've ever done was shun him and tell him no. Praise the Lord, you can't lose your salvation. But why would you want to do that? You have a choice. You can spend your life with the flesh, like Jacob did, or you can spend your entire life, not just eternity, but you can spend every waking moment today, tomorrow, for the rest of your life with God, who loves you and only wants to please you. Who are you going to pick? You have two options. Just like I preached a couple weeks ago, yeah, you have the road of righteousness and you have the path of the froward. And sure, two choices. It's not 100, it's not 1,000,000. Which one are you going to pick? Because if you're not picking, you are picking. If you're not picking Jesus, you've obviously picked the flesh. If you're not picking the flesh, you have to pick Jesus Christ to give you power over the flesh. Which one are you going to pick? That's the sermon tonight. You can bow your head and close your eyes. Andrew, come to the piano, please. You have an option, Christian. You can do it as much as you want, as long as you want, for the rest of your life.